Lord, we do indeed seek your face. We do indeed seek your face. Come and fill us. Come and free us to exalt you in our lives and in our worship. And as we seek, Spirit, come and fill us. Thank you that we can trust you totally to hear our prayer. Thank you that you love to be found by your people, that you love to bless us. And we simply want to say to you, we're waiting on you. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Well, welcome, St. Mary's. It's great to see you. Thank you for coming. Thank you, Chris and Tom, for leading us in worship. I'd love to read a few verses to you from 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verses 1 to 3. Well, in fact, verses 1 and 2, actually. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to God's elect, exiles, scattered throughout the provinces of Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, who've been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through the sanctifying work of the Spirit, to be obedient to Jesus Christ and sprinkled with his blood. Grace and peace be yours in abundance. It's easy and interesting, isn't it, to realize how small things can make us feel good. You know, we can be just going through life and it's all right, just about coping with everything, and suddenly something will happen and you feel, for a short time, yeah, I feel really much better as a result of that. How much I sense on those occasions the Lord Jesus wants to say, I can do so much better, I can bless you so much more. Last night I was working in the office and was leaving it about 9 o'clock and wandering back slightly, feeling, oh my goodness, I've still a lot to do, to my flat, walking down the road, and suddenly this woman's voice said, I think that's Jeremy. I thought, she must be talking to someone else. She said, it's you, isn't it? As she came rushing towards me. I thought, this is very interesting. And so did the two blokes who were with her. She said, I can't believe you're still alive. I said, well, that's encouraging, I thought. Do you remember me? And of course, I hadn't a clue who she was. And I said, oh, it's so wonderful to see you, ducking the direct question, or wanting to make her feel good. Because she was saying, she went on to explain that these two blokes of her office were taking her out to dinner. They were looking slightly cross that everything was being put on hold while she was talking to a strange vicar she'd found in the street. Anyway, I assured her she was that I was alive, and thought that probably that was going to last, I hoped, for a little while. As she talked, I suddenly realized I'd taken the wedding of a sister to a friend of mine 10 years ago. We'd met briefly at the reception. She should have been imprinted on my life, but she wasn't. And she said, it's so exciting to see you. I can't believe you're here. It's so amazing. You're so wonderful. The blokes who were with her were thinking, yeah, you haven't said much of this to us so far. We're about to spend a lot of money taking you out to dinner. I said, well, it's so wonderful to see you. I hope they buy you a large glass of good quality champagne. Now you've delayed them in this way. And I went away thinking, oh, perhaps I'm all right after all, really. Do you know, I felt much better. course, when the alarm went off this morning, that particular feeling had passed altogether, really. And the Apostle Peter, who as he was writing this letter, would have thought, yes, I know that type of feeling. He was writing about 30 years after the resurrection. And the recipients of his letter were a whole group of, lots of groups of Christians, different villages and towns in what we would today call Turkey. And he wanted the recipients of his letter to feel good about themselves and about life, to feel positive, but not in a way that's just passing and shallow, but in a way that would last, because it was a gift from the Lord Jesus Christ. And he begins by encouraging them. He writes to them as God's elect. God's chosen ones would be a better translation. It emphasized both the initiative that God had taken and how much he valued them. He used a word, actually, in talking about them as the chosen, which in domestic terms would have been used of a precious object that someone had bought and really valued. In military terms, it would have been those soldiers who had been specially picked for a demanding and important task. What he's saying to them is, I chose you. I value you. And just like those soldiers, I trust you to fulfill what I've called you to do. He wanted to make those who got his letter be absolutely clear that they mattered to God. He'd chosen them. And Peter develops this as the verse 2 develops. He describes them as being chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. Their purpose, the purpose of the call of the Lord Jesus, was that they would all be part of God's eternal purpose. Their relationship with God wasn't a passing one or a temporary one. They were the objects of his concern for all eternity. They mattered to him. He'd chosen them. He valued them. And then he writes about the response he was looking for from them. He wanted them, as we see, to be holy. He talks about the sanctifying work of the Spirit. Holy not just in the sense that they're set aside to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, but also in the sense of living increasingly transformed lives. To be those who by the quality of their life, would live the life that God intended for human beings. That's what I've chosen you for. That's why you matter to me. Because I want you to be people who are being changed because of our relationship. They weren't too simply just to talk about Jesus Christ as Lord, to be obedient to Jesus Christ, but he wanted them to live it, to be able to look back and see that actually they had begun to live more and more for him because of their increasing awareness of how much he valued them. Of course, there'd be difficulties. It sounded great, but actually it was bound to be quite challenging. He wrote to them, as we see, as exiles, because they were living in two worlds. They were living in the place where they lived and working in the places where they worked. And at the same time, they were living in the kingdom of God insofar as it had been revealed. They had to live as followers of Jesus Christ while juggling with everything that life threw at them day by day. There'd be tensions. They quite often feel they were pulled in different directions. There would be moments and issues where they thought, this is what I'd instinctively do, but this is what I sense the Lord Jesus would have me do. Working round here, we know that split loyalty, that dual loyalty better, though we sometimes feel the demands and expectations at the places where we work on the call of Jesus, the one to whom we matter more than words can say. That's why he wants us to be absolutely convinced about the value he places on his relationship with us, how he's not going to give up on us, how we're linked with him for eternity. He wants us too to be absolutely confident that the Holy Spirit is going to keep on helping us at every point that we need his help. He wants to encourage us today. He wants us to feel positive, not just as a passing thing, but as something that will last to eternity, a positiveness that flows from our relationship with him. Where do you and I need encouragement at the moment? Where do you and I need to be changed? Where are the pressure points that we're facing? He says, not on your own in them. That's where my Holy Spirit will draw near. And these promises won't simply be words from 2,000 years ago, but suddenly they'll be increasingly real.